Good morning. We pray that everyone had a wonderful week. I know it had to be wonderful because we're able to be here today, right? So we know it's going to get even better. Before we go to God in prayer, there was a request that came. Deb Art has requested prayers on her behalf. She went to the ER last night at about 10:30 and has been admitted to Wake Med in Raleigh. She's suffering from pancreatitis. So let's continue to keep our sister Art in prayer. At this time, will you pray with me as we start our class? We thank you, Father, for the blessing of this day. We thank you for waking us up this morning to see it and to be able to come out to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that you will be with us in this class at this time, that you will help our hearts and minds to be focused on the words that you have prepared for us, not just in this class, but all classes that are meeting this morning to open up your word, that book of life. Father, we pray that you will just give us the strength, that you will give us the understanding, and that you will give us the wisdom to apply those things that we learn. Lord, we also ask that you will be with our sister at this time who's in the ER, Sister Art, that you will bless her as she's been admitted. We know that you have all things in your hands, so we know things are going to work out the way you would have them to be. We pray as we wait to see those results that you've already prepared, that we will be in a prayerful mindset, and that we will just continue to be a comfort and encouragement to one another. Thank you for this opportunity, Father, and we pray that you will be with us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you all for staying with me for these last 12 weeks. I appreciate it. You know, I think we only lost like 5 or 6 people. That's good. No. But we've kind of reached the end of our quarter. We've been talking about grace. And what I want to do today, the final lesson is on grace and peace. But I really want to spend a lot of time today just trying to go over what we have learned and where we started and how we got to where we are now. So in lesson one, which was titled Amazing Grace, we got a working definition of grace along with mercy and justice. You know, justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is we do not get what we do deserve. And, of course, grace is getting what we do not deserve. And I remember the analogy I tried to give our kids once, we may have mentioned in this class, was when we have the kids are at home and we're given real instructions on how to behave and what you can and can't do in the house. One of the things, of course, is don't throw the ball in the house. You throw the ball in the house, it breaks the lamp. You know, justice demands a consequence for that. Mercy says, I'm going to withhold that consequence. But grace is the one that says, I'm going to take you out to ice cream. Not because you broke the lamp, but because of the love that I have for you. And we understand the love that God has for us. It has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. So in lesson one, we talked about that. We are saved by grace. We continue in grace. And we'll be brought home by grace. And, of course, we can't talk about grace without understanding that it is amazing. And grace is amazing because it's both universal, it applies to all, but it's very personal. It applies to each individual. It is not a business transaction. It's not something, if he gives us this, we give him this, but it is a gift that God provides. So we had a discussion question, what do we do with this amazing grace? And hopefully the final takeaway from that class was that we're preaching God and not man. Then we went on to the demands of grace. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. We understand that grace causes godly sorrow. We had a good discussion on the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And grace demands a response of obedience. The best was given. The best appreciation must be returned. Obedience requires our focus on God more than our focus on the works for God. So we had a discussion about can we be obedient without being faithful? Hopefully our final takeaway from that class is all that we say and do reflect the appreciation we have for God's gift of grace. That took us, in fact, if you remember, that was lesson 2 and 2.5, which brought us to lesson 3, falling from grace. Falling from grace involves losing sight of who God is and his role in our lives. And, of course, the answer to it or the solution to falling from grace is standing in grace. So we discussed how we stood in grace, and our final takeaway was that we should stand in grace and lift others to do the same. Lesson 4, by grace through faith, man can earn death, but he cannot earn life. We are made for his purpose. We understood that the evidence of our faith is our acceptance of the grace that God provides. So, of course, we asked the question in the class discussed, how do we tap into that power of grace daily? With our final takeaway is focus on God's grace rather than our own effort. Our faith must be 100% acceptance and 0% doubt. Lesson 5 and lesson 6, we talked about the power of grace, understanding that the only permanent motivation of a Christian is grace. What draws sinners keeps Christians. The power of grace is something that we have within us, that God has provided to us, and it causes the life that is displayed on the outside. The power of the gospel, the power is in the gospel, not in man. And we discussed the quote, super Christian of Paul, and we understood that the same power that was within him is also within us. He did so, all the things that he did by faith, based on the grace given to him. We do the same because we have the same. So we talked about how we use the grace of God in our lives, understanding that grace draws sinners and keeps Christians. Use grace, and hopefully we understood this point, use grace, not gimmicks, to draw others to Christ. If we understand that grace is the only permanent motivation of a Christian, then we don't draw people to the church, we don't draw people to Christ through activities and through other gimmicks, but we draw them understanding grace. We talked about grace in the Old Testament and some examples of that. We saw some legalism that was taking place in the Old Testament and a trapping that we could find ourselves in if we're not careful. But we know that if we work as a people who have already accepted, we work as a people who have already accepted grace, not to actually earn the grace. Lesson 7, the gift of grace, and then lesson 8 as well, we talked about the value of grace. And the important thing is understanding that God's gift that he gives to us is valuable. And Satan recognized he can't stop us from receiving the gift, but he can try to diminish the value in our lives. And so we have to always see the value. We had a discussion about if we value little, we will show little in our appreciation. And the final takeaway is let others see in your words and actions that you see value and grace. And I want you to stop right there for a second because, you know, a lot of times we look at our display of our spirituality. We say, well, I want to be humble. I want to show humility. I don't want to seem like I am, you know, being arrogant. But the Bible talks to us and lets us know that we should let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify the Father in heaven. So we recognize that the grace that we have and the value that we put in Christ should be seen in the world. It's not something that we hide, but it should be seen and others should see that we have, that we value that grace. Then we talked about sort of the other side of that, which was anger with grace. And those who recognize that, you know, I feel I deserve a certain amount of grace or a certain thing from God, and that there may be others out there who may not have, because of their lifestyle or whatever the situation is, they may not deserve it, or we feel they may not deserve it. But we understood through that lesson that that is not the case, that the grace that is given by God, again, it's nothing to do with us. It has to do only with him. So we want to avoid that spiritual opportunity hoarding. We discussed what opportunity hoarding was. And the question we talked about is, do we show anger or resentment when less, and I put that in quotes, deserving people receive the same things that we receive? Finally, hopefully our takeaway was grace is a gift to all. We must not hoard it for ourselves, but always seek others to see it and respond to it. And then last week, we talked about growing in grace. Grace actually just is not what grows, but we grow as we learn and apply it in our lives. And we had the riddle there. It says, what grows the more you take away from it? And the answer was a hole, but also a Christian. The more we take away ourselves, the more space we give for God to work, the better off or the more growth we'll see in our spiritual lives. And we asked the question, in what ways have we seen growth as a Christian? Our final takeaway, our growth is really clearing more space within ourselves so that God's grace has more room to work. And that brings us to today's lesson. And before we actually get into that one, I just want to offer this thought. So the last 12 weeks, minus a few weeks here and there, we've been talking about this amazing grace. What I want you to do is just take a couple of minutes and share with those who are around you what you've taken from the class or what you have done with the grace that you've received. Just take a few minutes, talk with those who are around you. We saw the people talking, so we know that you are ripe for fellowship at this time anyway. So take a few minutes and just talk with one another about the grace that you've received and how you've been able to apply it, and then anything that you may have learned from this class, having been in it for the last couple of months. Just a few minutes. One of the things that was important is taking myself out of the picture more. You know, has always been something I've wanted to do more and more each day, and try to catch myself when I do, you know, find myself trying to come to the front, the forefront, and just really remove myself so God's grace can work more. Yeah. It's a challenge. We all know it, but it doesn't make it easy. Yeah. Yeah. It's worth it in the end. Just another 30 seconds or so. Okay. Well, thank you for talking. Hopefully that means that there was something that was gathered or something that you've picked up or that you're learning more about grace, and that's a wonderful thing. We recognize there are some people in class today that, you know, haven't been with us the entire 12 weeks, but we all have that understanding of grace, and hopefully we can continue to grow in that grace. Does anyone want to share a little bit about maybe what they discussed with their small group for the last couple of minutes? Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Just like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And we recognize that when we see that relationship that we have with God or what God has done for us, it helps us in our relationship with others. As you said, helps us understand others a little bit better. Anyone else? One of my friends who's an older preacher, he said to me once, I'm so happy that God is not a God of second chances, but he's a God of another chance. Because we need more than two, don't we? I don't want just the second chance. I want the third, fourth, fifth, on and on. So thank you for that. He's continually working with us. Anything else?
Anthony.
Yeah, you know, we talked about early in this class how it's a very challenging concept because no matter what words we put to it, it really doesn't capture the depth, you know, the depth of grace. And we recognize there's not anything that we've done that even has us living in this country where we can do some of those things. We have certain freedoms and liberties, but it's by the grace of God. Appreciate that. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. It changes our perspective, doesn't it? Yes, sir. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because sometimes we make Christianity out to be a little bit harder than it really is. You know, and, you know, I remember this week I was in San Diego and we had to do this big presentation and we're trying to figure out, we have 2 hours and our slide deck had 130 slides in it. And we're thinking, how in the world are we going to get through 130 slides in 2 hours? And our our business development person says, well, we're going to go through it. We're going to chop some things out. But the first slide is the same as the last slide. And if we only had 30 seconds, kind of your elevator speech, right? If you only had that 30 seconds, what one slide will kind of summarize this whole thing? And that's why we looked at the first slide, you know, why our company, and list those things. And that was kind of it. Now, we could talk about some of the details of it, but that really kind of wrapped up who we were and why we were there. As Christians, we can kind of wrap everything up in the love of God or the grace of God, the gift of grace. You know, even Jesus, when they were talking about what is the greatest commandment, he only gave them the first two, right? It's simple, but it's not easy, right? Christianity is not so complex that it takes a PhD in theology to understand it and obey it. It's really simple, and sometimes we need to just wrap it up in a few words, right? Instead of trying to figure out all these philosophical ways in which, you know, well, if God exists, then why? We can wrap it up in some small sentences. We don't fully get the depth of it, but we can wrap it up in just a few words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Everything else kind of falls from that. Anything else before we move on to peace? Yes, sir. Absolutely, absolutely. And we know Romans 8:28 talks about all things working together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So let's get to the last few minutes that we have. I want us to kind of end with this one word, peace. Peace. As you mentioned, you know, having that new perspective brings about this peace, and having this peace brings a new perspective. It kind of is cyclical. What is peace to you? What is peace? A quiet mind. Anything else? I'm sorry, say that again. Comfort. Okay. Trey? Not allowing things to worry you. Okay. Ozzy? What he said. Resting in the assurance that God will take care of all things. Anything else? How do we get it? Oh, yes. So how do we gain peace? Where does peace come? Yes, Brother Thorne. family. Absolutely. Absolutely. Family definitely plays a role. Going to come back to going in the right direction. Anthony and then Brendan. Undisturbed existence. Okay. What? He's talking about an undisturbed, you know, existence and knowing that he's not in control. We're not in control. We recognize that. You know, the only thing that we own, the only thing we have some control over is our own choice. Right? Everything else, you know, we lack that. Brenda. Absolutely, absolutely. Right. Stable. Okay. Absolutely. She mentioned two things, and David, I saw you there. I see you over here. She mentioned two things that I hope we can really cling to. One was that it is a gift, and two, that we can grow in it as we mature. Does that sound like something maybe we've been talking about the last 12 weeks? That gift, that thing that we grow into, the thing that we recognize that we can't rely on ourselves to gain it. Grace and peace, which we're going to talk about in a second, how those two work together, you know, come from the same source. That is God. David, and I saw your hand over here. Amen. Thank you. I want to kind of, I'll see you there. I want to go back to something that Floyd said. Thank you for that, because we're going to actually touch on that in a second. When we think about peace and that road that we travel on, would we all agree that there's a difference between worldly peace and godly peace? Right? You know, there's that peace of, you know what, all my bills are paid. You know, the kids aren't acting up today. My belly's full. My favorite show's about to come on. I'm kind of at peace right now. But it only takes like one thing to throw that worldly peace off, doesn't it? One phone call, one somebody yelling down the stairs, or one crash, whatever that is, to interrupt that peace, that worldly peace. But when we talk about peace, we're talking about that godly peace. That godly peace that says something may happen. There may be another terrorist attack. There may be something that happens in my family. But the peace that I have that passes all understanding is what's going to get me through that, because it is not of my own that I have it. It's the gift of God. I want to share with you, because as Floyd had mentioned, he was talking about this road that we go down, this peace, this godly peace that we get requires righteousness. And I want you to think about what that means. The times when you've been at peace with yourself spiritually. I'm assuming we've all felt that at some point. Did you also have a sense of righteousness? Not self-righteousness like, oh, I'm all that, but comfort in God. They kind of go hand in hand. Let me put it this way. Let's look at the flip side of that. Have you known that you were being unrighteous and yet you had peace? Probably not, right? When we know we're against God, when we know we're not doing the things that God would have us to do or accept the way things are based on God, and we try to go out on our own, it's kind of hard to have that peace, isn't it? So those two things kind of work together. Once we recognize we're in God, it allows us to have the peace that God has already provided for us. It allows us to accept the peace that God has given to us. Like grace, God's gift gives the gift of peace to his children. Philippians 4:4-9. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. I'm just kind of curious about this. I want to touch on it really quickly. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 9, there are a lot of things that go on in this chapter. Jesus here speaking and gives the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful in verse 7, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. How does one make peace? How do you make peace? What does that mean to be a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. Yes, sir. Someone who calms, someone who pacifies. He says another word is pacifier. You know, I shared with you before, and this still is one of my favorite passages in Numbers, when we see this account of the disobedient children of Israel, and you know, they're complaining a lot, and God sends serpents into the camp, and many of them died, and they apologized and said, Moses, do something about these snakes. Do something about these serpents. And he goes to God, and God says, you know, make this bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and they raise it up. When they look upon it, they shall not die. And the reason why I love that so much, and it's one of my favorites, and I'm often reminded of it, is because he never got rid of the serpents. They were still there, and we can probably assume they were still biting. But he said, when you look upon this, what's going to happen? You shall not die. In life, we're going to be bitten. There are going to be things that are going to continue to hurt us. But with the perspective, a new perspective, we can have peace knowing that we're not going to be destroyed. It doesn't mean that the serpents are going to go away tomorrow or Tuesday, since most of you may be off tomorrow. You'll probably go into work and talk to a few serpents. But it's not going to destroy you, because we have a different perspective. And that perspective also brings about, as you mentioned, brings about the peace. In the midst of all these things, not in the absence of them, but in the midst of all these things, God can give us peace. He can prepare a table in the presence of our enemies. Neil, sir. That's an important point, that we put our lives, our very lives, in the hands of God. And he gave the example of David and Saul, right? And we also see David later, even when he does make his mistakes, he doesn't rely on himself to fix it. And we're going to be faced with those challenges. But if we keep our hands in God's hands, it'll bring about that peace. Yes. Again, just reiterating the idea of focus and perspective. You know, Trey just mentioned before, talking about being free of worry. You know, if we're always thinking about what just happened or what's about to happen, and we get so caught up in that that we lose sight of God, it's going to keep us from having that peace. It's going to keep us from having, you know, let's talk about how that's manifest. It's going to keep us from having a good night's sleep. It's going to keep our blood pressure a little bit higher. Right, it's going to put a few more wrinkles and gray hairs on us than, you know, we really want. Perspective. Johnny. Aren't peace treaties written that way? If we do this and this, we don't have to go to war. Focusing on the negative. And our peace is just the absence of that war at that moment. But any moment, that can change. Paul opens up his and closes out his epistles with grace and peace. Grace and peace be toward you. And he used that in pretty much every epistle he wrote. Grace and peace. When we fully see and appreciate the grace of God, and hopefully, you know, we've studied together the last 13 weeks, we have come to a little bit better understanding of it. We can gain the comfort and peace that comes with accepting it, knowing that we have this gift of grace and the comfort and peace. Let us be comforted by these words in 1 Thessalonians 13, 13 through 18. I'll pull up the scripture for you. We understand that we have this comfort in Christ because of who he is. And regardless of who we are, and it's not saying that sinners are going to have a one-way ticket, but when we put our hands in God's hands, we can have that comfort, we can have that peace, because we recognize the grace. Trey, I saw your hand up. Absolutely, absolutely. It's important for us to do that. We conclude with the praying that God's grace and peace will be made evidence in our lives. I pray for each and every one of you that that is the case. And we will strive to be the righteous children who appreciate and want to share with others this amazing grace. Let's close out with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time together to study a portion of your word. We thank you not just for this day, but throughout this quarter where we've had an opportunity to examine and grow in our appreciation of the grace that you have given. We pray that we will be constantly reminded of it. We know that the reminders are there every day, and it's for us to look at those reminders and be comforted by them. Father, may your grace and may your peace go with us now and forevermore. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all.